This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, will be back tomorrow. Massachusetts has launched an ambitious plan to fund its community colleges by linking state money to graduation rates. The idea behind the plan is to solve this challenge. Employers have as many as 120,000 job openings across the state, but can't find qualified applicants. Governor Deval Patrick hopes that his carrot and stick approach, it comes with an extra $20 million in state funding, will help meet the state's workforce needs. When it was first proposed 2 years ago, some community college presidents resisted the plan, but now every one of them endorses it, and we'll hear from a couple of them in a moment. And the big question is, are community colleges, where three-year graduation rates languish at 18%, are they up to the task? Joining us first here in the studio is higher education writer John Marcus. John Marcus is a contributing editor at the Hechinger Report, and he's written about education for the Boston Globe, among other publications. And John, good to see you in here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So let's start with this new funding mechanism in broad sort of outlines how it will work. For the first time, a large share of each community college budget will be tied to graduation rates, among other performance measures. Tell us a little bit more about how this works.
Well, for about the last four decades, colleges and universities have been funded based on enrollment. The idea was to increase the number of students who went to college. But we've gotten far past the point at which that has to be a significant issue. If your economic motivation is to enroll students and to fill seats, then you're less focused on actually making sure that they succeed. Mm-hmm. There's an organization that pushes for increasing college completion called Complete College America. It's run by the former Higher Education Commissioner in Indiana, and he said to me once, it's astonishing that states have finally gotten to the point of saying, okay, did anybody graduate? Mm-hmm. This new kind of funding is called performance funding. It is – Massachusetts is a little late to this game. Many U.S. states have already adopted this kind of funding, which rewards them for the outcomes rather than enrollment.
And so what kind of outcomes are we talking about? We mentioned graduation rates. That's the obvious one.
Graduation rates, the speed with which students graduate, another metric called retention, meaning the proportion of freshmen who continue to the sophomore year. That's the point at which most students tend to drop out. All of these kinds of things that save students money because they graduate within, say, 2 years at a community college, 4 years at a four-year university, mm-hmm. as they should, the rates are abysmal. And people outside higher education are always sort of amazed to hear that four-year universities graduate students at only a 55% rate within 6 years. If private industry had a success rate like that, it would be out of business.
Mm. So you were mentioning that this idea of performance funding for higher ed, Massachusetts is not the first one to put this idea into play. How has it worked in other states? Do we have any data on how it works?
Yes, it's still – so performance funding goes back about 20 years. In the 90s, states tried it when states had lots of extra money to play around with, and they gave extra money, bonus money, to universities and colleges for doing a good job. And, you know, if somebody wants to give you a bonus, that's a nice incentive. But what's happening now is states that don't have any money are saying, if you want your traditional allocation, you're going to have to work harder for what you're already getting. That seems to have had a significantly greater impact. Mm-hmm. And so you've seen universities and colleges in states like Indiana begin to increase their graduation rates, begin to turn out more students, begin to be motivated to add advising and other methods that have been proven through research to increase completion, do things like require fewer credits to graduate. Universities have sort of over the years added all kinds of ephemera to graduation requirements, and as a result, the number of required credits for a degree have increased. So they're beginning to roll those back so that students have a fighting chance to finish.
Hmm. But does that raise the prospect of a downside to all this? In other words, in order for community colleges here in Massachusetts to qualify for this extra money, might they do things to make sure that they get the money, like ease up on grades or discourage students from enrolling in particularly challenging courses?
Well, yes, they might. And in fact, that's happened in some other states where faculty have suggested that they've been pushed to make it easier to finish, make it easier for students to get passing grades because the universities and colleges are rewarded for that. At four-year universities and colleges that have admissions criteria, universities and colleges are now less inclined to admit students who are on the borderline, maybe with great potential, who came from lousy high schools, poor students, low from low-income neighborhoods and bad urban or rural high schools. Why take a chance on these kids if they don't graduate? We don't get the money. That's a downside, too. It's less of an impact on community colleges, which typically have open enrollment. But the idea of pushing students through to get the money is a concern.
So, you know, John, you've looked at this issue. You've written about it. What's the broader challenge and the set of solutions that they might suggest toward making higher education more responsive to workforce needs? What has higher ed done right? What has it done not so right?
Well, interestingly, in Massachusetts, which is sort of known as the cradle of higher education in America, community colleges in particular are sort of the poor stepchildren of the public higher education system, which is in turn the poor stepchild of the private higher education system. When you think of universities and colleges in Massachusetts, you think of all of those terrific elite private universities and colleges. So public higher education has, to its detriment, been underfunded, and really we haven't paid a lot of attention to it. That, I think, is one of the reasons that we haven't gotten around to this performance funding mechanism until now. But the reality is that the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston came out with a report recently that said that New England is actually performing below average in turning out a workforce with the right kinds of skills and the right kinds of education. And many of those available jobs are the kinds of jobs that come from community college graduates, middle skills occupations such as machinists and paralegals and lab technicians. So you need to compel the community colleges to begin to turn those students out with the kinds of degrees and skills they need to fill those jobs.
So listeners, there it is. That's the challenge. And we want to hear from you. Do you think community colleges here in Massachusetts are up to that challenge? And do you think linking a share of their funding with graduation rates is a good idea? Are you a student at a community college or a teacher? What's your take on the state of the state's community colleges? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston. And let me introduce two community college presidents. Jack Spraga is president of Bristol Community College, which has campuses in the state's South Coast area, Fall River, New Bedford, Attleboro, and Taunton. President Spraga was also on the task force which worked on the new funding arrangements and was an advisor to the governor 2 years ago when the reforms were first proposed. And President Spraga, thanks so much for joining us. Good to have you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
And also with us is President Bill Messner from Holyoke Community College in the Pioneer Valley. Until recently, he was also the chairman of the state's Council of Community College Presidents. And Bill Messner, good to have you back on Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, Jack Spraga, let me start with you. As we mentioned, some community college presidents were opposed to this idea of support for performance funding. What turned around the college presidents? Why is this a good idea?
Well, it's a terrific idea. The funding, we were criticized by the governor a few years ago for workforce development for the main part. And the funding just wasn't available for us to expand our workforce development. Indeed, what we were currently doing stretched our precious few resources as it was. Another point of criticism 2 years ago was the so-called graduation rate. We've heard it mentioned about under 20%. I think the figure might even be lower as an average for the state. But I want to say that in the interim, the graduation rate metrics, how you determine who is completing or who is successful, if not completing, has been changed dramatically and changed at the national level. This college, Bristol, was 20%, I wouldn't want to be associated with a college that was 80% unsuccessful. And even if I did, my board of trustees would not want me staying. So it is a bogus figure, and it has been widely used as a tool to beat up on the community college. Right? Just simply.
Well, what's the actual figure? If you say that's a bogus figure, what's the actual figure?
Well, if you take student persistence, as the National Secretary of Education has done with a special commission in the last year, it takes the old rule about graduation rates focus only on full-time, first-time students, which is a minuscule amount of our community college population. if you take persistence, and by the way, that focus is only on full-time. So if someone goes a semester, drops to a part-time load because of work or whatever, that is a dark mark against that particular community college. If the student, conversely, does so well in the first year that he or she earns a scholarship to Brown or Harvard or anywhere else and transfers, that is a dark mark because the student didn't complete at the community college.
I see. So the figures might not necessarily reflect what's actually going on. But let's not get too deep into the weeds about these kinds of statistics, because there are a few other issues I want to ask you guys about. And Bill Messner, let me come to you. You know, this is designed, among other things, to ensure that you guys get more funding into so that you can run the programs that you want to run. So tell us about the imbalances in terms of community college funding in the past that this proposal is aimed at redressing.
Well, yeah, thank you. The one of the primary imbalances, your earlier commentator indicated that.
That's John Marcus, who's still with us, by the way.
Yeah, Mr. Marcus commented that in much of the country, funding for community colleges has been predicated on enrollment. In Massachusetts, it wasn't even predicated on that. Here for the last decade and maybe a lot longer, our funding has gone up in lockstep. On the good years, we'd maybe get a couple of percentages extra. In the bad years, we'd go down all in lockstep. And so institutions like Jack's in Bristol that were growing rapidly got no increase in state support for the dollars for the students that they were attracting. And so the threshold issue for us with this formula was to get some equity from the state in terms of reflecting increases in enrollments. Now, where the performance funding got involved is that it became obvious that from the governor and the legislature, there was a desire to fold in a element of performance to state support. And I think we were smart enough, if you want to call it that, to recognize that we weren't going to get that additional support, and we weren't even going to get support for increases in enrollment without buying into a performance component.
Understand. So you need the performance component to make sure you get that extra money, which obviously the system needs. Do you think the performance component is good? Is it going to actually help you do what you need to do, or might it hinder you?
Well, I don't think it's going to hinder us. Whether it's in fact going to do what folks hope in terms of improving performance, only time will tell. There is the track record on that in other states in the past has not been all that good. On the other hand, I think this formula is more sophisticated, if you want to call it that, more nuanced. As Jack was just talking about, it reflects not just increases in graduation rates, It reflects increases in transfer rates. It reflects increases in students performing successfully in threshold courses like freshman English, college algebra. And it also takes into account the fact that community colleges are dealing in many instances with students who are coming from disadvantaged backgrounds, and they don't have the advantages of students coming out of some of the more high-powered high schools in the Commonwealth.
Mm. Well, Jack Sprague, let me come to you just about that point that I raised with John Marcus. I mean, is there any part of this that, what prevents you from taking steps essentially to boost your statistics to ensure that you get that money? That is, could you, I don't know, discourage students from enrolling in difficult classes? As John Marcus mentioned, this has been observed elsewhere in the country.
Well, I'm disturbed about that kind of talk. I think John mentioned that it was a possibility, and surely you mentioned anything, and it's a possibility, I suppose, across the country. But it doesn't that speak to the integrity of the college? Faculty members who are browbeat, as the example was used, to soften their grades would have other means of protesting that kind of unethical behavior. And administrators don't perform that way. I mean, it's just there are exceptions, absolutely, and there are ways around the rules and to bend the rules. I don't deny that. Mm. But overall, I mean, it is. Don't you see that it's a kind of a slap at the integrity of the institutions? We're in, especially the public institutions, where public money carries a public trust.
No, I take your point, and that question didn't come from any place where I wanted to raise the idea of slapping the integrity of your institution. It's just, you know, statistics can be manipulated for their own purposes, and it's really a question that gets to that.
Yeah, it's the term manipulated means to me, it's not above board.
Sure.
But I take your point. I mean, it's absolutely true. I don't deny it. Well, just I don't think it's a general rule.
Well, we want to get some listeners involved in this conversation. Listeners, we're talking about community colleges and a new funding formula that links a share of public community colleges in Massachusetts with graduation rates and other performance metrics that have to do with preparing a student for the workforce out there. Give us a call. Let us know what you think, particularly if you are a community college student or perhaps a parent of a community college student. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's go to Brenda, who's calling from Lexington. Hi, Brenda. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling because I was concerned that with this new formula, the community colleges might potentially be penalized. One of my daughters had been in the classroom only about just a few months when she was in kindergarten. After that, she was homeschooled, and she was a serious figure skater. She had decided later, after she was finished with all of the figure skating, that now she wanted a bigger education. But she didn't know how she'd do in the classroom, so she went to Middlesex Community College for one full year, got great grades, and next year she's transferring to Columbia. She was accepted by Columbia, and it sounds to me like Middlesex might be penalized because she didn't stay there another year and graduate. But
well, Brenda, that's a great point. Yeah, let me bring that up with Jack Sprague and Bill Messner. And first of all, Brenda, congratulations to your daughter. It sounds like she's done superbly well. But Bill, let me come to you. Would this system penalize a college like Middlesex for the case of Brenda's daughter?
No, it should not. The way the formula has been structured, in fact, his daughter, who succeeded in my hunch is probably succeeded in a fairly rigorous study, would be given positive points for that as a function of having cleared through freshman English, college algebra, and the like, having successfully transferred on to a four-year institution. All of those elements are built into the formula as pluses, not minuses, for the institution.
Mm. John Marcus, I want to bring you back into this conversation. You've written quite interestingly about this, and we're sort of focusing on this funding mechanism, but you've written about some pretty interesting examples of programs at community colleges that really are designed to coordinate student learning with what's out there in the workforce. And I'm just wondering, how widespread are examples like that, and how does Massachusetts fare?
Well, there are increasing numbers of collaborations between community colleges and specific employers. So between North Shore Community College and General Electric in Lynn, for example. And so students both work at the companies and take courses simultaneously at the community colleges. There are a number of those. Many of them are longstanding. I think that there's some sentiment among the business community that there could be more. There's some sentiment among the people in the business community that community colleges, as other higher education institutions, work at a pace that's somewhat slower than business would like. But I think that there's been a real change in the last couple of years about the way that community colleges look at that.
And Jack Sprague, let me get you to respond to that, because the same question to you. I mean, one of the criticisms of community colleges over the years has been that perhaps higher education as a whole, in fact, is that are not turning out graduates with the skills that are needed for the jobs that are available and out there.
Yeah.
Will this new funding formula speak to that challenge?
Well, yes, I agree with John, absolutely. You know, a few decades ago, we started to move towards something called student engagement on the campus so that students engaged in their learning would do better. And what John has mentioned at North Shore and other places is the coming wave of another form of engagement, and that is engagement with the real world or the business world, if you will. And our students gain valuable experience out there beyond our campus, and I think it makes them much more attractive in the marketplace, as well as welcomed by the business world. The internships and all of the various placements that we have not only complement our own curricula inside the campus, if you will, but outside the campus, they work very well to complement the needs of the work employers and the workplace.
You know, interestingly, a lot of four-year university graduates with bachelor's degrees are going to community colleges to get specific job skills in some of these areas, and there's been a boon in apprenticeships and those kinds of things. Again, Massachusetts isn't quite at the level of community college systems in some other states, but this is an ongoing trend within the discipline.
Well, ongoing trend, new way of funding community colleges here in Massachusetts. We've been talking to Jack Spraga. He's president of Bristol Community College, and Bill Messner, president of Holyoke Community College. Gentlemen, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
And thanks for being here. Thank you for having us, Anthony.
It's been my pleasure. It's an important issue, and we're grateful for your input. And John Marcus, higher education writer here in the studio with me. John Marcus, thank you so
much. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, you can comment at radioboston.org. If you didn't get a chance to comment live on the show, this conversation continues also at Facebook at Radio Boston. Stay with us. Coming up, an MIT researcher collaborates with Cambridge police to find patterns and maybe even solve common crimes. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.